Thank you to my lovely assistant, Brenda Leonard, for making those announcements. I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking together at verses 1 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. At the end of my message last Sunday, we ended with this passage of Scripture, but I dug a little deeper through it this week, and I hope that this Scripture and the things that God is saying to us here will help us, especially in this time. So I would like to speak about the antidote to anxiety. First, though, let me read this passage, Philippians chapter 1, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Yodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen to the reading of God's holy word. Let me give you just a word of background to Philippians. Paul is writing to the followers of Jesus Christ in the city of Philippi, which is in modern-day Greece. He's writing from Rome during his imprisonment, probably about A.D. 61. He started the church of Philippi in a second missionary journey. You can read about that in Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 40. And he's writing to them because he wants to strengthen them by calling them onward, to press on in following Jesus Christ. And he wants to show them the true joy and peace that comes from knowing and following Jesus Christ. So in these verses, I believe Paul he's giving us an antidote to anxiety. So let me give you just a little bit of intro before we get into the main point of the message. So in verse 1, he begins by saying, therefore, and that's always a clue. It's a clue us into the fact that we need to look back in the previous verses, the previous words, to see what he's saying therefore about. Well, the therefore is based on chapter 3, which is a call to press on to Christ-likeness. In chapter 3, verse 17, Paul calls us to follow his example of following Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And then he warns against those who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And we are to look at their lives, not just how they speak, but we are to look how they live. We have to look at and test how they are living. Indeed, this is a test for all of us who claim to be followers of Christ. Walk, not just talk. Then in the second part of verse 1, he calls them and us to stand firm in the Lord. In the midst of difficulties, he says, stand firm in the Lord. We need to hear this. We need to hear this as we are facing a very difficult time. Some may be tempted to give in to fear, to worry, to anxiety, to despair, and even be tempted to fall away from our walk in Christ. And then verses 2 and 3, he pleads for two women, Yodia and Syntyche, who worked alongside Paul in the gospel, and they're having a conflict. He pleads for them to agree together in the Lord. And this shows us it's important for us to be reconciled, more important to be reconciled than to be right. Conflict can cause us to lose our focus of keeping our eyes on Christ. We can get off track. We can allow angerness and bitterness, resentment to come in and poison our spirit. Don't allow that, he says. Be reconciled. Amen? This is what God desires for us. Well, this is just a little bit of background and intro into the main point. And the main point of the message is this, that we can overcome anxiety
if we will rejoice in the Lord and present our needs and our requests to Him. We can overcome anxiety if we will rejoice in the Lord, present our needs and requests to Him. Now, you might think, well, that's pretty simple. That's pretty straightforward. Well, let's look at it. Let's see that there's some things that we are called to do, some actions that we need to take in order to overcome anxiety. So let's break it down. Number one, he says here, rejoice in the Lord. But he also says, rejoice in the Lord always. In verse 4, it's the very first action that we are called to do. Rejoice in the Lord. Well, what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? The Greek word here is chairao, which means to be exceedingly full of joy, to be glad and to be grateful. And when he says rejoice in the Lord, what he means is that we are to be exceedingly full of joy for who God is and all that He has done for us. Now, it's hard to rejoice. It's hard to have His peace if we have our eyes on what is happening all around us. What's happening around us is bad. It's really bad. But let us remember that when Paul wrote these words to these believers in Philippi, it was bad in that day. Actually, worse than what it is with us today. Their medical technology was very limited. And many people died from common illnesses, including Christians. And most Christians there, not as much in Philippi, but many, many places, Christians were undergoing intense persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. And so you can't say, well, you know, they weren't going under the kind of difficulties that we are today. Yes, they were, and worse. You see, when we keep our eyes on Christ and we begin to rejoice in Him, no matter what is going on, Jesus said that we can be overcomers. We can overcome anxiety because He is the overcomer in us. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. When our eyes are on Him, the difficulties, even this pandemic, and crippling financial situations for some, we will not be ruled by fear. We will not be ruled by worry and anxiety. Amen? I wish many of you were here to say amen with me. So, how can we rejoice in the Lord in such a time? Now, we don't rejoice for the bad things. That's not what I'm saying. But we rejoice because even in a very difficult time, God is our rock. I spoke and preached about that last Sunday. God is our rock. God is our salvation. God is our fortress, our strong tower, our refuge, our shield. He is my protector. He is my deliverer. He is my healer and my coming king. We rejoice because Jesus Christ has given us salvation. He's given us His grace, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal life with Him. His presence goes with us. He has given us promises to claim. We have His principles to live by, and we have His peace that guards our hearts and our minds. It's so important that we rejoice in the Lord that Paul repeats it. He says, and again, I say rejoice. So there are many things that we're told here we can rejoice in. God is our rock. We rejoice in who He is and what He has done for us. Can I go a little further? Has He been faithful to you in the past? Has He walked with you through a difficult time? Has He met a need when you didn't know how it was going to be met? Has He given you peace in the middle of a storm in the past? Faithful is He who has called you, and He will do it again. We can rejoice in the Lord knowing He is faithful. He will see us through. No matter what, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, says the Lord. There's one more thing that we can rejoice in. We can rejoice because of the incredible future and destiny that is ours in Christ Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 20 through 21, I was reading through this and I just wanted to pull this in because it's so important that we keep our eyes heavenward during this difficult time. In verse 20 through 21 in chapter 3, it says this, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Amen? When Christ comes again and takes us to Himself, we are going to be changed. We are going to be transformed. Our bodies will no longer be subject to sickness, to illness, like we are now in this cursed world that we live in, this sin-ravaged world that we live in. Now, in saying all of this, it does not mean that we don't take care of the responsibilities that we need to. I'm not suggesting that we just sit at home on the couch and sing Kumbaya and wait for Jesus to come. No. We have to take care of our responsibilities. We have to take care of business. We have to pay our bills. Many of us have to work. Even though many have been furloughed or laid off, many still have to work. By the way, please remember that if you're in that situation where you have been laid off, where you have been furloughed, where you have lost your job, we are here to help one another. We stand together and we're here to help each other. But it does not mean that we don't take the precautions that we must. At the end of the day, though, when everything we have done everything that we can reasonably and responsibly, then we rest in Jesus, the faithful one. Amen? We rest in Him. So we have a choice. We can choose anxiety or we can choose peace. And it begins by, number one, rejoicing in the Lord, always. Number two, you and I need to check our attitude. Verse 5 says, let your gentleness or your moderation be evident. Some translations have the word gentleness there, and that can be a meaning. But this is the Greek word, it's epiakesi, and it literally means appropriate. It means appropriate. And it has the meanings of moderation, patience, reasonableness, and gentleness. What does this mean for us? It means, in the words of Nacho Libre, take it easy. Take it easy. We ought not to have our drawers all up in a knot. It means as Christians, we are to have an appropriate attitude, appropriate reaction and response to difficulties such as this virus that we are facing. In this, we are also displaying our lives as Christians to other people all around us. And so, we ought to stay calm and trust Jesus. This is how followers of Jesus Christ deal with such difficulties. Stay calm and trust Jesus. We ought not to be going off half-cocked and getting all up in a tizzy about this. Number one, it doesn't help. It doesn't do anything. And it makes us look like we don't trust our God. Are we going to give in to fear, or are we going to trust in faith? So we need to check our attitude. How are we acting? What are the words that we're saying to people around us? Are we just displaying fear, or are we speaking faith? Our God is faithful. Our God is our rock. He is going to see us through this. Amen? He will. He will see us through this. There's another aspect here. You can't help anyone else if you're all tied up in knots. If you're filled with worry, if you're filled with anxiety, if you're filled with fear, you can't help anyone else. You're all thinking about yourself. You're thinking only of yourself. And so we need to be calm. We need to be level-headed so that when the opportunity comes to encourage someone else, to help someone else, we're ready. Because we're not just thinking about ourselves, woe is me. No, no, no. We are looking to help other people. We're looking to see, how can I be an encouragement to others during this difficult time? How can I help others meet their needs? What resources are there that I can point them to? How can I pray for them? And so we need to check our attitude. The second part of verse 4 says that we are to do this. Let your moderation, let your gentleness be seen by all. Why? He says, knowing this, that the Lord is near. The second part of verse 4 says, the Lord is near. Well, what does that mean? It means this. He is nearer to coming than He was yesterday. That's all we can say. He is nearer to coming than He was yesterday. But knowing that He is near, that His coming is near, He says that we are to take encouragement and take confidence in this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37 says this, "In just a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay." He who is coming will come and He will not delay. And that is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20. When? Well, that's in God's hands. We have to remember that God's time is not our time, and our time is not God's. So, number one, we rejoice in the Lord. Number two, we check our attitude. We check our reaction and make sure we are not bound up in fear. But number three, we read in verse 6, Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Don't be anxious for anything. Rather than being anxious, filled with worry, we are to present our concerns, our needs, our burdens, and our requests to the Lord with thanksgiving in every situation. This word anxiety is a very interesting word here. It's the Greek word merimnao. Merimnao. It means to be filled with worry, nervousness, unease about an imminent event or an uncertain outcome. You are filled with this sense of worry, of nervousness. It's not just a mental thing. It can actually be a physical thing where you feel that nervousness inside of you. And so anxiety, being filled with worry, is the opposite of faith. It's the opposite of faith. That's not just me saying this. It's what Jesus said. Jesus said this about worry, about anxiety, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. These are words that you're probably very familiar with. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry," and it's the same word, merimnao, merimnao, anxiety, anxious. Do not worry, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. These are the basics of life. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? And then skipping to verse 27, "Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life?" The literal translation is a single cubit to your height. And the translation that makes sense to us is that can by worrying anyone add a single hour to your life? I could make it personal, say, by worrying, can I add a single hair to my balding head? The answer is no. And so worry is not only the opposite of fear, but worry is useless. It's useless. Worry is something that gets down into the craw of your being and gnaws at you, and you can't get rid of it yourself. Then Jesus goes on, verse 32, "The pagans chase after all of these things," things such as, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? The pagans chase after these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Did you catch that? Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Verse 33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." There's the promise. So rather than having anxiety, fear, worry, there's God's promise. All of these things will be given to you as well. When? When we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Verse 34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Worrying, being anxious, is like a rocking chair. It keeps you occupied, but you don't go anywhere. Worry is like a rocking chair, in that it keeps you busy, but you don't accomplish anything. Worry is the opposite of faith, and worry is useless. I would like to read a poem for you that Tammy Nielsen wrote 2 days ago. We were having some conversation on the phone, and I said to her, I said, "Tammy, you know, the things you're saying, I think you ought to put them into a poem form." And If you know Tammy, she writes a lot of poetry and does a fantastic job. And so I would like to read this poem. I did this with her permission. So this is Tamara Nelson. She wrote this on March 27th, 2020. And I believe we have that to put up on the screen, I believe. The name of it is God's Peace. Stress, uncertainty, doubts. The edges are coming unglued. I've misplaced my hope. Sage's day. I need to trust God and live in His peace. His peace passes all understanding. I don't understand. I want to find my way back to the place of peace. But I've lost my roadmap. I'll get out my compass. North, Jesus is my Savior. South, God is good. East, God's love never fails. West, heaven is my destination. What happens in this world has no eternal power. Jesus saved me for my eternal destination. I can count on God. I will repeat this until His peace returns. Thank you, Tammy, for writing that and allowing us to read that, sharing it with us. And what Tammy writes is good. But the antidote to overcoming anxiety is right here in the Word. And it says two things so far. Rejoice, check your attitude, and don't be anxious, but pray. Don't be anxious, but pray. One last thing. Scientific studies have shown that 85% of what people worry about, what people are anxious about, never happens. Do you see that? 85% of what people worry about, what they're anxious about, it never happens. So if you are one who gives into worry, you tend to give into it and you have anxiety, you're worrying about 85% of things that are never going to happen. And now you can see why anxiety and worry are useless and they're the opposite of faith. Rather than to allow myself to fall into worry, fall into anxiety, and be stuck there, no. The Scripture says, I take these cares, these burdens, these concerns, these requests, I take them to the Lord with thankfulness, with gratefulness. Why? Because He is always taking care of me. He promises to meet my needs. I take them to Him who cares for me. 1 Peter 4:7 says this, cast all of your cares, cast all of your anxiety upon Him, for He cares for you. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Cast all of your cares. Cast all of your anxiety, the same word, merimneo. Cast it upon the Lord. Why? Because He cares for us. The Lord is always taking care of us. He knows we need these basic things, these basic needs. He hears my prayer, and He promises to answer and to meet my needs. So, I should lay them down and leave them. Lay them and leave them. That ought to become a mantra for us who struggle with worry, who struggle with anxiety. Lay them and leave them. Too often we lay them down at Jesus' feet, but we turn around and come back and pick them back up again. Lay them and leave them. Now watch this. Sometimes making our needs known to the Lord also means that at times we make our needs known to our brothers and sisters. They may be the way that God will answer that prayer, that God may meet that need. You know, sometimes God does it directly, or He does it through a situation, or He does it through our work, or He does it through a stranger or somebody that we know. But sometimes He does it right through your own church body, your own brothers and sisters in the Lord. And in this time, when there is such need, there is such concern, especially financially, we're here to stand with each other and to help meet each other's needs. So sometimes you have to let your brother or your sisters know that need. Well, Paul ends in verse 7 with this beautiful, beautiful promise. He says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Stop right there for a second. It means this, that the peace of God is spiritual, yea, supernatural, because it transcends all of our understanding. Why is that? How is that? Because we can have peace in the middle of the storm, even when it doesn't make human sense, when it's not logical. We're not talking here about ignoring our problems. We're not talking just about a head game. No, but God can give us His peace that transcends all understanding. He can give us His peace in our hearts and our minds, even in the middle of the storm. And it says that His peace will guard our hearts and guard our minds in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means that it will guard us against giving into anxiety, giving into worry, giving into fear, giving into despair. His peace, when we have His peace in our hearts, it guards us against these things. I can be in the most stressful situation. I can be in the most, the situation that looks bad, just so bad. I can still have His peace. Why? Because as Tammy wrote in her poem, these things of the earth are not eternal. The things of the earth grow strangely dim, the old hymn says, in the light of His glory and grace. The peace of God gives us perspective, helps us to get our eyes off of the happenings, off of the circumstances, and back onto God, because ultimately, He is the one who is faithful. When we have His abiding peace, by the way, this is the Greek word eirene. It means a sense of calm, a sense of well-being, even in the middle of a storm. And so Paul ends with this beautiful promise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, even in the middle of this storm. In a moment, I'm going to pray and close. And I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I trust you will lay hold in this prayer of the peace of God, that you will continue to rejoice in Him for all that He is and all that He has done for us, that you'll check your attitude, catch yourself when you find yourself falling into fear or anxiety, and then just begin to put your burdens, lay them and leave them at Jesus' feet, because He knows our needs and promises that He will meet those needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us pray together and let us ask God to give us His peace, that we would dwell and live in His peace even in the middle of this storm. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the peace that is ours in Christ. We ask, Lord, that Your peace will descend upon our hearts, Lord, that it will overcome the worry, the concern, the anxiety, the depression, the despair, Lord. Let Your peace minister to Your people. Lord, we receive it. We take it and make it ours. And Lord, show us if we are holding on to worry or burdens or concerns that we should leave at Your feet, and help us to lay them there and to leave them there. Father, we rejoice in You because You are our great God, our rock, our fortress, our strong tower, our place to stand, our strong place to stand in the middle of shifting sands. So, Lord, we thank You. Lord, I pray for each one who are hearing this message and who will continue to hear this message, Lord, that You will minister to them. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, walk with Him, leave your burdens at His feet, and dwell in His peace. God bless you. Please keep in touch with us, and we trust you'll have a blessed day until we come together again. Amen.